Welcome back to the Challenge War of the Worlds Wrap-Up Podcast, episode 13. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me this week is Will Simon. Will, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so used to listening. I was ready to hear you say, here with me as I co-host as always, Allie Lesh. Allie, how are you?
I almost said it myself. I thought I had to do a quick pause and stop myself because it's ingrained in my brain to kind of say that. So, but it's good to hear from you. This first time, you know, first time that I've ever spoken to you. I know you've kind of done the rounds of some other podcasts, but it's good to have you aboard this one.
Yeah, it's pretty wild being on here. I've been listening to you guys since I was in like junior year of high school. Like back.
Don't make me feel so old.
Yeah, I know. Back when you guys did Free Agents, and you know, it's been a long time coming. It's a dream of mine.
It's very exciting. And I know you're a big fan on Twitter, not just on the podcast, I mean, on the show. So it's always good to speak to kind of a longtime fan of the show. So welcome aboard. And so what do you think of, you know, I kind of got a sense from Jonathan Foreman last week of what his thoughts were this season. But now we're right on the cusp of the final. So what are your general senses of War of the Worlds as we're right at the brink of the end?
I've been pretty high on this season so far. I feel like it's more of like a back to basics season after the last few. I know like they had like producers of the Bad Girls Club on like for the trilogy or something like that. It was, I don't know what's with all that mess, but it feels like more of a back to basics season, you know, back to pairs, back to no more like purges every other week with Redemption House. It's, you know, it's good old challenge, even though we are getting like some cliffhangers now as we get closer to the end. But I feel like that's like pretty par for the course with older seasons anyways. So it doesn't bother me too much.
Yeah, no, totally. I think I haven't really spoken to anyone that isn't high on this season. I think there's just degrees of enjoyment. So I think it's kind of fun to have a universally liked challenge season. You know, the challenge Twitter sometimes gets pretty critical, at least in recent years. So it's kind of fun to have everyone sitting back for a few months and actually enjoying the show for the first time, it seemed like, in a while.
Yeah, imagine that, enjoying this show we watch.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes it doesn't always go that way, but it is fun when it happens. So so as you mentioned, we had a little few to be continues, and this one we pick up right where we left off last week with the hall brawl teaser of elimination. And they were teasing some clips of past hall brawls. I was actually caught myself watching the Zach versus CJ one from way back when, which always brings back good memories because this is an elimination that usually delivers, and this one delivered again once again.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the CJ Zach one is iconic. That was really like, I think that was Zach's first season.
That was bad. Battle of Seasons.
Yeah.
A rare bananas last season. The only one in the last like decade.
Yeah, that was a weird season. But
very.
Yeah, I'm glad they brought it back. You know, it's always a classic. Even like with Kyle's numerous injuries, I still feel like he put up a good fight. I guess, do you want to talk about like the whole Polly throwing himself in cliffhanger, but not really a cliffhanger because obviously it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, so I mean, he kind of teased like, oh, if he there's elimination, he could put his hands on Kyle. He'll happily go in and try to take him out, and he gets the perfect elimination to do so. And not really shockingly, I think for anyone, he smartly chooses not to volunteer himself to go in, leading to Kyle being voted in and him turning around and voting in Thea.
Yeah, and I guess in Polly's situation, it's really like a lose-lose situation at that point, because like once you talk up yourself going up against Kyle like so much, obviously it's going to be like everyone watching is going to be like, oh, wow, what a loser. You don't even go up against him the one time. You know, it's going to be like a real physical one. But like if he just wouldn't have said that, then no one would care. Like, obviously, this is the right move. You don't want to throw yourself in.
No, totally. Yeah, there was no one like being like, oh, Paulie, you're such a wimp for not even offering up to throw yourself in like right on the brink of a final to go against someone who you're sort of a rival with, but also times sort of not rival with. Like, if you're going to do it, like either you just do it or just don't even bring it up. Like when Jordan did it, like he said he was going to do it and he did it. And even though he lost, I think it's still, you know, I think it's thought back on as like a stupid move, but it's still a pretty iconic move in challenge lore. So if you're going to do it, like then just even if you're going to bring up the idea, just do it.
Yeah, and I mean, at least with Jordan, like, Jordan wasn't safe. Like, there was a chance he was going in anyways. And it was like, he was the person, like, who wanted to take out Bananas because he felt like he had the best shot at it. Even though it was, like, very cocky, it was not as dumb as, like, Polly throwing himself in here would be. And that was also, like, week 5.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, this was a very much apples to oranges situation. It would have been very, very, very stupid of Paulie to do it. And luckily for him, I mean, he's been, if he wins, he'd be a very deserving winner, because I think either he or Carr has tweeted out about how many challenges they've won this season. So it would be kind of unfortunate for him to see his story kind of end stupidly like this. So he smartly chooses not to, leaving the walking wounded Kyle to have to fend in the elimination against Theo. What did you make of his choice? Do you think it was the right choice to go up against Theo as opposed to Hunter?
Yeah, I think it is the right choice, just because in that situation, like, you're going up with just like such tight quarters. Hunter is just like such a massive guy that you really don't want to be like plowing into him. I feel like he would have just rammed into Kyle and dragged him mm-hmm. down the hallway with him. And even though like Theo is a sprinter, it was really like a real Rafe's choice in that situation.
Yeah, totally. I'm 100% with you. I think that was the move. If anything, I thought Theo's kind of lankiness might have worked against him in such kind of a narrow situation, whereas, you know, going against Hunter, kind of smaller, closer to the ground like situation, where I think you're almost better off being that way. I actually thought Kyle was going to win this one. When he won the first round, you rarely see comebacks, I feel like, in challenge eliminations. Usually when someone wins an early round, they go on to win. So I was actually very surprised as a result of eliminations, which also rarely happens. So, but very impressive by Theo.
Yeah, it was really well edited too.
Totally. Yeah, they were kind of building up the Theos, the Ed Pauly kind of talking smack about him, that he's like, you know, he looks like he's this big beast, but he's not really showing much. And Kyle's getting a lot of respect from pretty much everyone, from battling through all these injuries and looking great. And it was it was very surprising to see kind of turn around.
Yeah, I read in my notes, Pauly said Theo is all show and no muscle. I don't really get that. I feel like Theo has really proven himself to be like a pretty athletic guy. I don't know what Pauly was going on about.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. And I guess looking back, we probably should have picked up on a cue that this is classic challenge to build someone down just for their moment to kind of turn around and win. Because Theo's, I mean, in all aspects, I mean, he done very well in puzzles. I didn't realize he was an Olympic sprinter. Maybe they mentioned that previously, but that, I mean, that's just another knock. And he's done very well. He did very well with Kara throughout the season. So I've never had any knock on Theo. I think Theo's been one of the most impressive guys this season, especially with his politic game.
Yeah. Is he the prospect of the week? I guess we don't want to get into that too early.
Ooh, can't tease that just yet, but he's certainly in the running. When you win an elimination, that certainly puts you top of mind for a potential of a prospect of the week.
Yeah, definitely.
Kyle goes home. So the one thing about this elimination that I thought might come into play, did you notice that, at least I think in the past ones, when they have the bell, they usually have like a giant space in between for people to dive. Why do you think they put like a giant metal wall right by the bell where clearly people are going to dive into? I thought someone was actually going to get seriously hurt, and that's how this elimination was going
to
end.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, it seems like a really prime opportunity for someone to just be running so fast that they just like hit the bell and slam into the wall. Like, I think the visual of people diving for it too is really good TV. So maybe they just like didn't have enough space to like have to not have the walls there. Like just the edge of the soundstage. I don't know.
Yeah, it really did not make any sense, because I think like Theo dove the first heat, or Theo or Kyle, and it looked like they did actually hurt themselves, and it clearly didn't matter because of the next two rounds they both dove also. So
yeah,
luckily there was no like major concussion or shoulder injury or something like that, because that could have easily happened.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle's pretty roughed up at this point. He doesn't need any more injuries.
Yeah, but he gets a good parting words from TJ, gets the old that's how you battle, or this is how you do it on Survivor type thing. So yeah. Kyle gets a good send off as he goes on his merry way, and it says he may have lost the battle, but he will win the war against Pauly.
I guess so. I mean, I feel like the war is basically like this season.
Yeah, I think so.
Really, in the long, it's the war is of the it like some long game of winning the war of like ultimate challenge? Like, when, I don't know. It's a bad analogy.
So do you think going forward next season, if they're both on, do you think if Carr is not on, do you see them being friends, or do you think if Carr is on, do you think they'll be enemies? Like, what do you see the future for Pauly and Kyle moving forward?
So I mean, obviously I hope that we don't hear like nonstop about this whole Kara, Kyle, Pauly trio in the future. I do feel like if they're on in the future, they'll start to notice like the incoming UK people as more of like the threats they need to worry about. I think there'll be like sort of an unspoken truce for a while, but I don't see them being best friends or anything.
Yeah, Jeremy Barton says, are you ready for a Paulie and Kyle win for Rivals 4?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably best case scenario at this point.
Yeah, because that usually is the big way where all these like sort of feuds kind of reconcile and then becomes friends, and it's not as awkward as like, why is this happening? Where at least you could see it happening on screen. So, you know, I guess we haven't had a Rivals in a few seasons, so we might be kind of due for one in the near future. So that's definitely one of the outcomes for how this kind of unfolds.
Yeah, well, I guess since like Rivals 3, I feel like the challenge has been hesitant to do like sequels, because it's been like Vendettas, then Dirty 30, Vendettas. Which Vendettas, I guess, is basically Rivals, except like there were no pairs.
Basically.
And Final Reckoning
using
was
the wrong, incorrect grammar usage.
Yeah, yeah. We have been permanently scarred as to no longer knowing what the word Vendetta means. And then Final Reckoning was basically like Rivals meets exes. So I don't know if they would do Rivals 4 at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it kind of could be on the horizon very soon. So as they're about to go off, TJ leaves them with kind of auspicious words saying he will see you very soon and to not go too crazy. And this didn't really come into play. Once again, this happened last week, I feel like, too. TJ is leaving them with like ominous words and then it doesn't really matter. So did you think like when they got back to the next challenge would like immediately start? Because that's kind of where my head was.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been pretty cool if like the elimination ends and it's like, all right, turn around now because it's the set of your next challenge. Like the plane is just floating in the air behind them.
I mean, that's kind of where I thought that this was going.
Yeah, I didn't think that just because I thought that would have been pretty ridiculous. But I mean, now that you're saying it, I wish that it happened.
Yeah, it would have been kind of cool. But instead, they kind of just go back to the house and, you know, Ninja and Turbo once again, they don't really can't see eye to eye. Ninja doesn't say why Turbo's still mad at her. Turbo doesn't see why Ninja doesn't understand why he's still mad at them. And it's a giant miscommunication all around.
Yeah. And this is pretty much just like more of the same of what we got last week. I pretty much agreed with what you and Jonathan said in the podcast last week. Like Ninja slipped out. I think it would be best for Turbo to just like pretend to like accept their apology and like pretend to be okay with them, which I guess he pretty much does later. There's like no point just hashing it out at this point.
No. Yeah. Luckily, this kind of feud seems to go on these two episodes. And then now that there probably won't be much voting elimination. So I think it'll probably die. And then hopefully they'll kind of reconcile in between the new seasons, because I hope we don't see a lot of people coming after Turbo, because I think Turbo has become one of the more beloved people. So I hope we don't need to see people targeting Turbo going into next season.
Yeah. I mean, like who's going to hate Turbo?
It's hard to.
Yeah,
it's hard to, especially with another Turbo story of his childhood of the week. This is like the podcast segment taking over in TV. He talks about his love of milk with his dad. I think the quote was his dad said, without milk, I cannot go outside in the morning. And then without milk, I cannot go to sleep. And that is why he loves milk.
Yeah. Milk's what made him so strong. You know, I used to there was a period in high school, Brian, where I drank roughly a gallon of milk a day. And I am very upset that I'm nowhere near as strong as Turbo.
What was the purpose of drinking the gallon? You just really like milk, or was there like a method behind the man?
Yeah, I just love milk, just like plain skim milk, you know. Just it's like basically water. Everyone is always like, Will, why do you drink so much milk? It's just water. But I just love how it tastes, you know. I can't explain it.
So you could just like, you could just go into the fridge and pour a glass of milk and not eat anything with it. You just drink it on its own.
Yeah, basically.
I can never do it. Even now, I need to at least have like a cereal, cookies, like a snack. I need to have something with it to like combine the taste. Milk on its own for me is not good.
Mm. You're on the wrong side of history, Brian. You're not going to be strong like Turbo.
You'll fit in with Turbo's family and I'll be feeling his wrath at some point, I guess.
Yeah, without milk, you cannot sleep.
Yeah, so Turbo wants to make Dian Ninja feel for their mistakes. He will get his revenge, which is kind of like the sentiment we got throughout this entire episode of Turbo plotting his revenge.
Yeah, and I guess that's what we got in the end.
Yes, this was I guess maybe Turbo could be the prospect of the week, because this was his episode. You know, he got what he wanted, and it all started with this challenge. I didn't catch the name. Did you catch the name of this challenge besides, you know, Challenge Airways, or was that the actual name of it?
Shoot, I didn't write down the actual name of the challenge. I was just going with Challenge Airways, just because that's such a goofy name and I love it.
I know. I was too distracted by TJ in costume night, dressing up as the coolest looking pilot I think you'll ever see in the entire world.
Yeah. Does this count as date night, TJ?
I hope so. Or it's like a twist on date night. I don't know what happens when he gets back to his house, but this could be a date night.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe like a role-playing night, TJ.
Yeah. It's something for him. But yeah, he comes in. He's looking sharp. He's got the aviators, the whole outfit. Looking good. The challenges, they have to go up into the Challenge Airways plane. They get their passports. They have to solve a puzzle and jump out of the plane. But little do they know, there'll be a lot of turbulence along the way and water spewing in and all sorts of distractions.
Yeah, a lot of turbulence. I'm sorry.
That was very good. I didn't do that. That was very
cool,
good.
Cool. What was the point of him giving everyone boarding passes? I thought that was going to like come into play or something, or like one person wouldn't get a boarding pass. That was so ridiculous. Yeah.
No, I don't know. This had a very like Big Brother type feel with like the water spewing out and the shaking and like the costumes and like the bad puns. Like this was very like Big Brother-esque for the challenge to do. They don't normally steer this way, but I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. It was fun. It was kind of a twist on the kind of things that they've done in the past. So I enjoyed it.
And I liked how we didn't like, you know, dwell too much on the actual puzzle solving aspect of it. It was much more focused on just watching the plane like turn over. I was confused as to whether the plane was actually going upside down, because the pieces must have been like, if so, the pieces must have been magnetic, because they weren't like flying all over the place. People were like, didn't seem to be having trouble like staying in their seats. So I wasn't sure if the outside of the plane was just rotating to make it look like it was turning upside down. I don't know.
So they definitely mentioned the puzzles were magnetic. Someone, whoever started doing the puzzle immediately said, oh, it's magnetic. And I think that was the reason for the audience to be like, oh, that's why the puzzle pieces aren't like sliding all over the place when it's kind of turning and shaking. So yeah, I don't think it never like spun all the way upside down. I think at most it got was like right on its side. But then I guess, I mean, seatbelts are wonderful things, though. Kind of did the trick.
Yeah.
But then the other big pseudo bomb that TJ drops before this challenge is that the top guy and the top girl will skip the next challenge and they will go straight to the final.
Yeah, and I don't know like what was the rationale in doing this, but I mean it's always nice to add more stakes. Like obviously, I guess with Turbo's like vendetta against D and Natalie, who are not his vendettas, he has a vendetta against them. I guess there are like more stakes for the men than usual, like seeing as this is just a female elimination week. So I thought that was like good, at least because it gave them a reason to compete.
Yeah, no, so I think that's probably what the sense that I got to was to give the guys a reason to kind of compete. At least, you know, last week, the reason was just like it was so meant the taxing and draining that eventually the girls would want to just compete just for the sake of competing here. It's just, you know, you're doing a puzzle. There's not much to kind of go on. So at least if there's some incentive that if you win this, you go to the final, it kind of gives it extra endurance or a push for the guys to really try to give it their all here.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have, you know, Kara being her typical Kara self that can't just embrace, you know, how good she is in these challenges. You know, I liked how the Kara that I like is the one that talked about how, you know, if she wins, this is like her third win of all time. And it separates herself from all of the challengers, which is true. And then she comes in here and she's complaining about being a little bit in the air, doing a puzzle. Like, Kara, you've been through so much. I don't understand why she still reverts back to this like scared little girl mindset.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like at this point, she just has to be playing it up for the cameras because she's been on, well, like 12 seasons now. Like she's done way worse challenges with like where they're way higher in the air, where, you know, like Tony will fall into the water and rupture his spleen. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't anywhere near that extreme or intense. Like, I think she's just, you know, playing it up for the cameras.
No, totally. And it's almost like she was like, this is like a triggering thing. Like, is there something in Kara's past? Did she like go through a plane crash or something? She was like, like she was having PTSD or something. Like she couldn't be in a plane. Like maybe something happened to Kara in a plane at one point. I don't know.
Yeah. You should check her Twitter if you're not still blocked.
I have to get my burner account.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be checking her Twitter at some point. Let me know if she
gives any explanation for the plane fear, because I didn't understand it. Like when she was like, like I said, like when she's like, this is could be my third win, this like really separates myself. And that's true. Like, you know, some people can win one, like get a little bit of luck, you win two. When you start winning three of these, like that's like rarefied air. And I want her to like preach that a little bit more, because that's what the lane she should stay in.
Yeah, exactly. And I have an update. It looks like Kara is still not on Twitter anymore. So unfortunately, no insight into that department.
Well, I guess I could check her Insta if she's posting anything on Insta, because I don't think I'm blocked there. So at least she doesn't know me on that lane.
I mean, don't speak too soon.
Yeah. So for the winners, we got Turbo jumping out first and Kara jumping out second. So they were the leaders in the clubhouse to potentially take the jump to the final, with Pauly right behind and Ninja right behind for the girls. So were you thinking we might get a little twist of one of them being wrong? They really got no sense of the puzzle. I think they briefly showed it once. We really had no idea who was right and who was wrong. But did you think Ninja, or did you think Kara or Turbo were potentially wrong here?
Yeah, I feel like just like the way it was edited, if we did have one of them wrong, they would have like put more focus and like put a little, you know, like red circle over where their pieces were wrong. I was surprised to see Kara win this one, though, because she always talks about like how bad she is at puzzles and has been pretty bad, and also was like freaking out more than anyone else. So I guess like minor props to her for getting it done. And Turbo has just proven himself as a puzzle king this season.
Yeah, Turbo killing it once again. Yeah, it's good. I mean, again, Kara, she should just, you know, step out, jump off the plane, be in the on the wall, like kind of waiting for the results, and be like, yeah, I'm going right to another final. This is what I do, instead of once again doubting yourself over and over again, looking, doing like the typical woe is me Kara shtick, instead of just kind of owning how good you are. Because once again, yeah, she wins. She's in the final. But so we have to see them two, and Pauly is the third one to make up the tribunal. A lover's tribunal.
Yeah, the hottest tribunal of all time, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other, I guess, standout moment was D, with two of the worst fears really coming to play you could possibly have on the challenge. Being afraid of heights and water, which take up, I would say, at least half of challenge competitions, if not more. And this time it takes up both, although this one, it didn't really have much to do with the challenge itself, but she still was very much paralyzed with fear jumping out of the plane into the water.
What was that?
So Dee being like paralyzed by fear to jump out of the plane, she couldn't deal with the heights, couldn't deal with the water, all kind of coming together. And we got to see, it was fun to see Maddie like in the challenge encouraging her. That was a kind of a heartwarming moment.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. We haven't really gotten to see much of like Maddie and Dee's relationship, but I do get the vibe that like all the rookie girls are, you know, pretty cool with each other. But yeah, I mean, heights and water. If you're not cool with heights, that's basically just like Leroy not learning to swim before going on the challenge at this point.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I guess that's one you should be able to kind of shake as you go through your challenge career. But I guess as you saw with Kara, it's not necessarily the case, but you kind of have to keep overcoming it, because that's going to, sure, it's going to come up again in a final if D makes it that far, and it's going to come up many times in her future challenges if she keeps coming back season after season.
Yeah, exactly. I guess heights isn't really the thing you can like train to overcome, though. Like, I mean, if you've gone through a traumatic plane crash like Kara maybe has, you know, can't really blame her.
Yeah, exactly. So this time around, as opposed to last week with the guys when it was just three guys in the tribunal, three not, we actually did have a voting session this week with Pauly, Turbo, and Kara having to suss out three girls to nominate for eviction, or not eviction, oh my god, for elimination. So what did you make of the discussions and how we landed on the three nominees?
Yeah, so I thought it was, you know, pretty straightforward. I was pretty sure Turbo is gonna push for like D or Ninja Natalie to go in, and it seemed pretty clear that one of those two would be the ultimate one going into the elimination. I thought Kara like really overemphasized how big of a decision it was for her to pick Georgia or Davon, when ultimately I don't think it really mattered. But
yeah, totally not. Especially, I mean, I think she made the right decision going with Davon, because it was with Pauly also there. There was no chance Davon was going to get the votes. I guess in some universe you could maybe see Georgia somehow turning on people or something like that and somehow getting voted in, but for Davon with Pauly there also, there was a 0% chance she was getting voted in. So she stuck loyal to the U.S. roots to kind of go that way. Actually, didn't stay loyal. My mistake. She would have stayed loyal by going with Georgia, but she loves the firecracker of Georgia.
Yeah, and I also feel like Davon's not going to be mad at Kara for putting her in as like a burn vote, where I think Georgia would actually like hold a grudge, or at least like pretend to hold one for the cameras.
Yeah, I also enjoyed how they all agreed to how great Maddie is. Like, Maddie is in a great spot here. Like, everyone loves her, and she's one of maybe the top female competitor in the game right now. So she's in the great spot for this season and going forward. She doesn't have any enemies. She's even more so, even well liked. So Maddie could be one to watch this season and going forward for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Maddie is like the female Turbo in terms of just being well liked by everyone, except like she hasn't even gotten any confrontations with Ninja or anything.
Yeah, the closest thing she had was with Kyle last week about kind of not being on his side in votes, and that was squashed pretty quickly. Kyle, I cannot see him holding a grudge for any more than the second he left that game. I don't think he even had it by the time he left the game, let alone when he got eliminated. So yeah, so he's got no one coming after her.
Yeah, she's in a great spot. I feel like she's going to be someone that's going to come back in a lot of future seasons, or at least I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. I think, you know, she's, I think there's like we've been saying, there's been a handful of the UK/new people that have come on this season that I think are going to be part of the challenge fabric for a while. And I think she's certainly making case to be one of them.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we get the three nominees with D and Ninja and Davon. D and Ninja made a kind of a funny bet about who they each thought the other one would be nominated by Turbo. And then they look at the screen and see they're both nominated. So I guess technically, D won because Turbo, or I guess Ninja won because Turbo nominated Ninja. So I guess technically she won the bet, even though they're both nominated.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty weak bet. Was it a bottle of wine?
Bottle of wine, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get more high stakes than that.
Yeah, at least throw on a dinner with it. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, dinner first.
So we get a tribunal. It's kind of weird seeing it that we didn't get. It's not as kind of in focus. You know, we're down to the numbers. There's not as many people to even be nominated. And now we get the tribunal with the three nominees, and it's really clearly just between two of them, and Ninja and D. So, would you make a Ninja once again trying to work her like kind of teary-eyed apology? She seems sincere. Turbo's not buying, but what'd you make once again of like the Ninja Turbo situation there in the tribunal?
Yeah, I think it is genuine. I mean, I think Ninja did quickly realize like, oh, I was kind of a jerk to Turbo after that challenge, and I really shouldn't have yelled at him. And I do think part of that was her saying like, oh, I shouldn't have been a jerk because we actually won. But I think like now that she's had time to think about it, maybe like talk to other people and get their takes on it, I think she's realized like I was definitely in the wrong here and I should own up to it and apologize. And I think she really did like the best she could at that point. I think it was really just that Turbo is a man of honor, a man of milk, and, you know, doesn't turn around on people easily.
Yeah. So I think for me, the big test with Turbo is going to be how he stands with the girls kind of after. I wonder if, you know, he made his mark, he got his revenge this week, and what that means going forward. Does that mean now they're even, or do they still need to work up to earn back his trust, or is it always going to be this unspoken mistrust between them? I'm curious in the kind of the Turbo mindset where he's going to be standing with D and Ninja going forward after this week, and then even going forward to maybe another season.
Yeah, I feel like after this week, I don't know if we're going to get any more. Do you think we're getting any more like tribunals, or do you think there'll be like a purge to knock out like one guy and one girl, and then we're going to the final?
Yeah, I think that's the way it's going to go, right? So now we have Turbo and Kara in the finals. I think we're gonna knock out Davon or D here, so we'll be down to, was that 10 left? Mm-hmm. Two in the final, so the other eight will do, you know, if they kind of teased it for next week, a purge with two people going home, and then we'll have an eight person final, which seems like a lot, but I guess if they do a stages thing where people eliminated along the way, they can do something like that. But yeah, I think next week will be the last week before the final.
Nice. Yeah, I think the Vendetta's final had eight people, and there was like a purge right before it that took out Devin and Jimmy. So, you know, it's like there's precedent, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah, there's precedent for it. They usually do multi-stage finals anyway, and now they just add an element of if you finish last, you're out. Or, you know, they could just have everyone do the final and then just, you know, top three win. It's not like there's anything necessarily wrong by doing it that way. They don't need to knock out people depending upon what they're doing in a final, or they can just knock, you know, four people out right before the last stage. There's many ways that they could do it by going with eight to the final that it makes it impossible.
Yeah, I think they really just want to like structure the final so that there's no point where one person is just like so far out in head that you know they're going to win. I guess that's why they do the stages at this point, where the amazing race where like the final leg, one team will just be clearly ahead of everyone else and there's no suspense there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with the gender neutral final, I would be stunned if like the last stage isn't at worst everyone kind of starting at the same level, or maybe like you have like a 30 second head start. There's some of those where you have a 30 second head start, a 1 minute head start. Nothing that like is overwhelmingly impossible for someone to kind of overcome. But yeah, I don't think there'd be any chance that this could be like a old school, like you could be up by like an hour going in like and just win a final. I'd be stunned if that was the case.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, they haven't done one like that in so long at this point.
Yeah, they really haven't. They really haven't. Yeah, I guess last one at the top of my head I remember was the second Rivals when CT and West dominated. And I think that might be the last one, but I'd have to do a kind of an audit of the past finals tournament, exactly what they what they've done. So we go to this tribunal, you know, with the ninja making her plea to Turbo, making the plea to Kara and Paula that she's never gone against them. And I love Devon with maybe the highlight of the episode coming in, you know, hair like that laundry day, as she says, is no makeup, the pure Devon coming at you, and everyone loves it. No one's going after her.
Oh yeah, Devon is a queen.
Yeah, I will miss if she. I guess maybe I won't fall for another her retirement things. But one of the things that I enjoy the most about Devon is her narration of challenges. I know that they might be some force fed lines, but in the sucker me believes Devon is just that good at coming up with these lines and delivering them. So her narration during challenges and even just of different events, I love it. I think she's great.
Yeah, and honestly, I like wasn't even excited for her coming into the challenge because I felt like in the Big Brother. Or like on Big Brother, she was like way more overproduced. Like it felt like everything she was saying was fed by the producers and like over rehearsed. But here she feels like so natural. And I think like just that experience of being on Big Brother really helped her like narration game.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. You're on a show, you know, she's on it twice for probably combined, what, like 100-ish days, maybe like a little around that. So you do a lot of confessionals. Yeah. You do a lot of narration. Pretty early both times. Yeah, all right, so maybe not that long for whatever, but regardless, once you're on a show, I think that's the biggest step is once you're on a show and then you're brought back, you know what to do around a camera, and I think it's a lot easier to narrate some of these challenges scenes anyway, like with like the drunkenness and the fighting confusion. So yeah, she's done great. I hope she comes back because she's been a star.
Yeah, exactly, totally agree.
So anything else before we get kind of like the last beat of right before the elimination? I mean, I think it was kind of setting up to be either D or Ninja going in. The girls, they made it seem like somehow Devon was going to be the target. I didn't buy that for a second. Did you think there was any question that it was either going to be D or Ninja going into this elimination?
No, I guess we did get the scene of like D and Turbo finally seemingly making up and Ninja like watching creepily from inside the house. That was a great shot as well.
I was waiting for her to come out. I thought she would come out and like kind of address the situation.
Yeah, me too. This is also like totally unrelated, but during the scene of D and Turbo like talking, did you notice D's coffee she was drinking?
I don't think so.
She was like shaking it around violently the whole time. I didn't notice it. I was watching with Frail Mary, who told me to credit her for this observation. her like coffee was just swishing around violently, and it looked like it was gonna like pour out onto her hand. And I was like scared we were gonna get like a third degree burn on the show or something. It was like,
well, that were right before the Turbo milk scene, Georgia brings out four mugs, and I thought it was coffee, but then Turbo was talking about it. Maybe it was just milk. Maybe they're drinking milk out of the mugs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the coffee availability in the challenge house. I don't know.
Yeah, they're taking away the beer, only leaving them with the coffee.
Yeah. No, no, no drugs soon enough. No caffeine.
Nope.
So, yeah, so we get to the elimination. Turbo says, you know, the girls, they've wronged me. I'm not going to do much talking about my vote and just votes for D. So why do you think he voted D and not Ninja, especially after the conversation he had with D where it seemed like they kind of came to an understanding?
Yeah, I really don't know. I think it might be that I feel like Natalie was being more apologetic. And I think he also Turbo's a lot about like honor, respect. And I think he respects Ninja as a competitor more just based on like her performance. And I feel like Turbo is the type of guy to be like, I'm going to vote out the girl who I don't want to like work with in a final.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Cause we didn't even like when D finally jumped out of the plane, we saw a lot of people clapping and stuff like that. And this may be the power of editing, but it seemed like Turbo wasn't even like paying attention to her. Like he couldn't even bother to like give her a fake clap for kind of overcoming a fear and jumping out of the plane. He was just like kind of like seemed like he was just talking with George and was like giving Dee no mind at all.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And he's just been so over her for a long time, I think.
Yep. So Kara kind of burns a vote on Devon, leaving the final vote to Pauly, as you know, there was no chance, as we said, that he was going to vote for Devon. So he votes for Dee, which sends Dee into what might be the last Killing Floor elimination.
Yeah, and it's going to be a tug of war, it seems like.
Yeah, so they're really kind of teeing it up as a Dee kind of favorite, because she turns around and votes for Devon. She said that she, between the other people, she's made deals, and who she came into the house with, she wasn't going to go against them, so she had to go against Devon. And I think that kind of just backwards works to make the correct decision. I guess you could make the case you may want to go against Georgia here, but I can't hate the Devon pick, so I'm not gonna, I won't second guess it here.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously not picking Maddie in anything, like honestly in any elimination at this point. You're not picking Maddie.
Definitely
and
not.
She's obviously not gonna pick Ninja, even if she wasn't best friends with Ninja. You wouldn't want to go against her. I was expecting her to pick Georgia here, just because I feel like I haven't really seen like what everyone else is seeing in Georgia, like physically. It seems like she's a good runner, like has a good endurance. And I guess that might, like the endurance aspect might translate to tug of war. But other than that, like I really don't know. Obviously the competitors all seem to really think highly of her, and they're seeing more than we are. But right. I was a little surprised by the Devon pick.
Yeah, a little bit. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't too surprised. I could have seen them going, could have seen her going either way. And, you know, I don't think Devon, you know, we've seen Devon's upper body strength not being the best. I know she won that elimination with Bear, but I think that was much more of a token of whoever Leroy's partner, whoever that girl was. I could not for the life of me remember her name, just being so bad, not necessarily Devon being that good. So I will see how this kind of the tug of war plays out. They're certainly making it seem like Devon has no chance. Everyone, even herself, was like, this is Dee's to lose, basically. So I'm sure that means Dee will be going home next week when we come back, but certainly seems like Dee is in a good shape to knock out Devon.
Yeah, it's the power of editing. And I don't know why Devon, did Devon call Dee fat, or did I mishear that?
I think she was saying solid. I think she meant like just strong, like very competitive. I think that's what she was saying.
All right, I hope so, because Dee is like, I mean, no one on the challenge is like out of shape. They're all like gorgeous specimens of people. And don't come for my girl
Dee. Easy left the show. Yeah, no. I cannot imagine Dee. If there's, Dee's definitely not fat, definitely not overweight. Maybe a little scared of fights and water, but other than that, certainly not a knock on her competitiveness or her athleticism. No, definitely not. So yeah, so this is we got another cliffhanger leading into elimination. I'm like I said, like we said, you know, this far into the season, we're not going to knock it too much, because I think things will reset pretty well next week when we do kind of a pseudo purge to get ready for a final. So I think the final should either start maybe like the end of next week or at least in 2 weeks. So not too upset about a cliffhanger, because we did kind of get the pick. I hate when they do a to be continued on who they're going to pick. So this is like kind of a clean place to do a to be continued on.
Yeah, I mean, we would get episodes of Dirty 30 where like the episode would end with the end of like the challenge, like the first challenge of the episode. So I much prefer this where we're getting like most of the episode, and like the exciting part is being like held, you know, like at a string at the very end.
Totally. Yeah, the season has been very well structured from start to finish. So you know, knocks on the editing and the seasonal structure. I mean, we're 13 episodes in. We're right at the final. I think it seems like it's going to be a 15, maybe 16 episode season and then a couple of reunions. So that's totally fine for this day and age. And it's an enjoyable season. So certainly no knock on that.
Yeah, keep it up, challenge producers.
Yes, keep it up for... I think I didn't get the chance to see it. Did you? I think there have been some leaks on the new cast. I don't know if you saw it. If you did, we kind of discuss that at the end. Did you get a chance to see any of the leaks on this?
Yeah, I have gotten a chance to look at the leaks. I don't know if you want to talk about that like at the end.
So when we go through all our various segments for people who are very spoiler averse, we can knock them out, and then we can, because I haven't seen either, so this could be news for me too, so we can kind of touch on season 34 and what information we have right now. I don't think it's like an official cast,
it's a lot of
an unofficial cast, but I think it's all like the Venmo rumors and stuff like that. So yeah, so we can touch on that. So we got the few segments you mentioned earlier. So your prospect of the week, who are you leaning towards?
I think I will have to go towards Theo, just because I feel like Turbo has been my prospect of the week like every other week. And you know, Turbo did really come from behind in that elimination. Got to give props to him. Even though Turbo did like win his way to the final, I think the big moment was Theo beating Kyle.
Yeah, I agree. Mainly because it's just we just so rarely see a comeback in challenge eliminations. When someone goes down, it just doesn't seem like they, especially when it's a one-on-one battle, that they ever come back. So to see him do that right in a situation where I thought he was an underdog going in anyway, just because of the size, like the muscle size going into it. So yeah, I'll give it to Theo too. Very impressive. He's had a very good run. I hope he has a strong final, because that could give even more credence for him coming back in a future season. I hope he might be on the 34 cast, or if not 35 then. So yeah, I'll give it to Theo too. A very strong performance, very strong season overall from someone who I didn't have much expectations going in at all from him. So greatly exceeded them.
Yeah, I mean, he came from like Love Island, definitely not like a show known for its physical competitors.
Certainly not. He did a very good job there. So, and then we have from the great Kyle Picard, we have the drinking game hits. So we have three flashbacks to prior in the season, and I love how they kind of do like the special effects with like turning it blue and like this color to make it clear that this is not from the current episode. Good job by them. TJ laughing at people's disdain. We have one of those. 15 subtitles, five flags at half mast, which has become a common occurrence now for I guess the rest of the season. And Jonathan's making some talk to Devon saying of ass, making it to this episode. So good job by Jonathan Foreman incorporating something to the drinking game. They got a hit immediately.
Yeah, good job, Jonathan.
So I don't know how we could play this, because you're not 21, right?
I am 21. Contribute?
Oh, you are 21. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I turned 21.
I don't know if we could.
At the Boston Know-It-Alls, I was 20 and couldn't get into the after party, which was very sad. But
okay, so now you could get it to the challenge drinking games action, so you could add one there. Otherwise I didn't want the cops going after me for soliciting underage drinking game options.
All right, I think I do have an idea for the drinking game with the final coming up next week.
Perfect.
All right, so I'm gonna go with not final coming up next week, but you know, it's coming up soon. I'm gonna visible vomit.
Okay, yeah, that, I mean, that's gonna come into play, so this is the perfect time for it.
Yeah,
that's good.
Probably gonna get some eating challenges, gonna get people getting like exhausted and just like physically, you know, out of it. You know, it's gonna happen. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think what's a challenge final without an eating portion and disgusting eating portion at that? So I'm sure that'll get some hits in the coming weeks. So that's a good addition. I didn't have anything to add. I think we can kind of run with what we have now, and then maybe right before the final we might be able to add one more, but I'm good with where we're at for my segments. And now we kind of have, you know, we have yours, we have Jonathan's, we have Jeremy's to kind of add into the final a little bit of twist. But yeah, that's good. It's a good mix for the last couple
episodes.
We've
got enough, got enough rules that at this point you probably will be visibly vomiting if you're actually playing along with this drinking game.
Yeah, I will. Maybe that I actually should try to do this for next week, just to actually play along with it, because I've never done it, which is kind of a bad look by me. But I should try to do our own drinking game.
Yeah, you're just going to be hammered on the podcast next week then.
Yeah, the one I'll never notice is the flags at half mast. I just never noticed the flag even popping up, and it pops up like five times. But I guess always at half mast.
Yeah, crazy. I've been like trying to look out for it ever since Ali mentioned it, and I've never noticed the flag.
Never noticed it.
Okay, I'm glad it's not just me.
Yeah, but I guess it's there because it's like five times every episode. I think it's maybe anytime the flag is there, it's at half mast. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Just see it in the distance.
So I'm trying to see if we have any any questions from the thread. I know it's kind of tough when we don't do it the next day, but let's see. So Jeremy Hamilton says, can we please have a pilot TJ count as date night TJ for the drinking game? Turbo agrees that he was looking sexy all dressed up. Yeah, I think we
totally agree.
That has to be a part of it. I think date night TJ comes as anything that TJ may want to do on a date night. So yes, pilot TJ is included. And we'll give a quick shout out to Felipe Shaman. He's your number one fan. So give a quick shout out to him for expressing his love for you multiple times. Gotta give him some love.
Yeah, unless that was an accident. He left three comments saying, "I will, I love you."
Well, likely excuse. Yeah. Got me to read it, so. And then shout out to Megan Elizabeth. It's amazing that they pull this stuff together right on the night. So shout out to her for sending over the Twitter stuff. And this is, I said last week, I sort of vetted it before I started reading it. This one is 100% not vetted. So I'm going to quickly look through this. Let's see what we got here. Start with our girl, Devon. It's a picture of her looking very exhausted and tired with this is my entire mood for the rest of the season. Laugh, cry emoji.
I feel that, Devon.
Yeah. Another one from her saying, I wonder if they're going to show someone up there having PTSD while watching the challenge and me comforting them. Wonder if that was Kara. Is that what it seemed like? Maddie with this is, I assume this obviously about the first elimination, the Hall Brawl elimination, saying this was probably one of the hardest eliminations to watch. 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Hall Brawl always delivers.
Yeah, Hall Brawl is always a good one.
Have they had a female Hall Brawl? At least one-on-one. I think they've had some teams where females have gone, but I don't remember just one-on-one.
Yeah, not that I can remember. I know they had the one where it's like a circular Hall Brawl, sort of. I think Anissa and Laurel went up against that one together. Do you remember that one where it's like a... I know on Free Agents they had it.
Yeah, you're kind of like chasing the person around, right? You have to catch them, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, sort of like that.
Nelson chiming in with damn, Kyle, my money was on you, my guy.
Man.
Always good hearing from Nelson.
Yeah, Nelson always has great takes.
Yeah, Theo with some shots at Paulie saying, I was looking forward to the Paulie-Kyle face-off after listening to the Smack Talk for 7 weeks. Good move, Paulie, for not stepping down, though, as you might not have come back. I got you, though, G. Let the big boss take out the big trash. You can call me the big smoke. That was very long-winded. A lot of bigs.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long tweet. But like we said, I mean, just don't put it out there if you're not gonna go ahead and take him on.
Yep. Ninja with, crap, I'm going to start practicing Sudoku while crashing my car to prepare for future challenges. Yes, that is the move. That's how you prepare for the challenge.
Wow. Props.
Last one, we'll once again go to Devon with, it's like the producers were like, what are some things Devon is afraid of? Heights, check. Large bodies of water, check. Airplanes, check. Let's put them all together and see what happens. Scared face emoji.
It's a good emoji description. I do feel like Devon is afraid of most things that the challenge does, though. I don't think they're specifically going after her.
Yeah, I think basically they do any challenge and it'll hit at least one of Devon's fears.
Running, check.
Yep. Breathing, check.
Breathing. Yeah, I didn't see her take a puff of that inhaler again this week.
No inhaler this week.
I should have put that. Can we retroactively make that my drinking game suggestion?
Yes.
Just, I don't think it's ever going to happen. But
yeah, you could have two. We'll have the vomit and Devon whips out the inhaler during a final if she makes it. That's an automatic drink.
Yeah, just like finish your drink at that point. That's a real winner.
Perfect. So that'll do it. For covering this episode, did you have anything final notes you wanted to hit before we talk about a little bit of the season 30 forecast?
I just wanted to give some advice on what we should do about the whole Akiva being banned from the podcast situation.
Oh, okay. Yes, let's do it. I haven't really weighed in much other than me giving him a ban and then kind of hearing on their podcast. So what are you offering?
Yeah, so I think. I think at this point, any guest who comes onto the podcast, you charge them $235 to be on the podcast. There's a set rate at this point. There's precedent.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what you do for Akiva.
And that's what you're paying too to the great charity that Ali set up? That's the fee you're paying as well?
Yeah, I already Venmo'd you right before we started.
Oh, interesting. It might have been another Brian Cohen on Venmo then.
Oh, no. If I sent it to just the wrong Brian Cohen, that would have been really embarrassing.
It would have been. So you're saying if Akiva donates the same amount or maybe $1 more that Jeremy
$1
did,
more. $1 more. One-upsmanship.
Got a one-up. If he donates, then he could be banned. I'm fine with that. If anyone donates to any charity, then they are very much unbanned if I ever did ban them from the podcast. Donating to charity, I will never discourage for future reference. Just like we're pro-drinking on this podcast, and we are pro-donating to charity.
Exactly. So speaking of people being banned from things,
oh boy.
We can go ahead and talk about the season 34. That's the next one. rumors. Yes. So there are like some Anissa's said to be very likely on, which is exciting. Tori Deal, that's cool. You know, like a lot of the names you'd expect. But one of the people that's rumored to be up in the air is Camilla.
Oh, good Lord.
Which is very surprising to me because I thought they'd learned their lesson on that one.
Yeah, that is for sure. I thought that ban, usually we get bans or like retirements from the people outside of Kenny and Evan. I don't think we've ever had a true ban from MTV, and I thought this one would stick. I thought Camilla would be done. That's very surprising to see her even rumored to be back, let alone potentially being back.
Yeah, and I think the way it is like, if you're on this list, like, you at least got a call, which,
right.
Like, I don't know how anyone, I don't know if they're just expecting people in the fan base to not remember that far. Like, I'm sure the casual viewers, like, didn't even know much about the whole racism stuff that went on.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, how they expect people to be okay with this if it happens.
I know. I think it'll be very interesting to see how the rest of the challenge, like, not even the fans, like, the cast kind of reacts, if they're very up in arms or if they kind of welcome her back. That I'm very curious to see how they handle it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and were there any big surprises from outside the challenge world? Any other CBS people, UK people, or any other big name newbies coming on?
Yeah, so the only other big name that's like not a person who's been on before is or like not a person who's been on like the last two seasons is Paul from BB18 and BB19.
Really? He's now rumored. Okay, so we got Josh, previous winner, and now we got Paul. Okay, so we got a little friendship coming to the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, previous two-time runner-up.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
Very close to being a winner, but...
Yeah. Yeah, right. Wow, so I could see him... That's not as off-putting as a fit as I thought Josh would have been. I could see Paul doing decently on the challenge.
Yeah, I could. I mean, Josh, I think, did do better than a lot of people expected, even though he, like, technically got eliminated in the first challenge. But,
yeah,
you know, he was, like, pretty good for the show. I think someone, I remember Paul being, like, 5'4" or something, which I feel like won't serve him very well in these, like, hall brawl-esque eliminations.
No, probably not.
But I do expect him to be, like, a character.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know if he's in a relationship?
I don't think so, although I am very much not up to date on my Paul stalking. So.
Yeah, I'm not a Paul stan.
Yeah. I'm surprised there's no BB20 people rumored, especially just for how popular I feel like that season was. And I feel like that cast is, I think it's like pretty well like ingrained in a lot of the recent reality TV kind of people from like CBS and all these other shows. So I'm surprised that they're not, like, no one's rumored to be part of the season.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. I think there might be an element of like waiting for like the next season to pass just in case CBS wants to like snatch any of these people up to be on the next season. Because I do imagine that
like
once these people are going on MTV, it's because CBS has said like, yeah, we don't really want them anymore.
Yeah. And once again, no Survivor people rumored. I mean, I guess we've had some rumors, but no one really making the jump. So that's one bridge that hasn't been crossed yet.
Yeah. I'm ready for the Survivor people, man. Just go like all out. Make it. Full like make it like the season of the Amazing Race, just the challenge versus Big Brother versus Survivor.
Yeah, the challenge versus CBS. Let's do it.
Yeah, war of the networks. Battle of the network stars.
No word on what the theme or anything like that would be. Just nothing on that.
Yeah, nothing that I can see. I feel like we usually don't get to hear the theme until like they're already out there.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising though that I feel like this is one of the later filmings. Usually they either have one in the can or or people are already filming when the season is ending. So I feel like we might actually get a few month break between this season ending and a new one starting. I feel like the season might not start until like October, November.
Yeah,
based on the rate this is going.
It seems to be that way because I feel like this current season was like started filming near the beginning of when last season was airing.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one isn't going to start filming until the third week of May, it seems like. So basically like after the finale.
Yeah, so I can't see the earliest would be in September, and even that I feel like is a pretty quick turnaround. So I would say not till kind of mid late fall is when 34 will be kind of coming back.
Yeah, they might have to shove two seasons of Pros versus Joes in there to hold us over.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah. That'll be something. So so that's all right. So that's 34 to look forward to. And then this one's wrapping up. I think we're gonna have our finalist set next week. Leave us, I didn't see any 5-star reviews, although maybe I'm very bad at looking for these, but I didn't see any. But please leave some, so we have some to close out the year at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can subscribe there as well. You can follow me at @ColinBryan_, and they can follow you
at @WillFromAmerica.
Will from America. I love it. Oh, we actually did have one additional segment. We had a What Is Allie Thinking About of the Week. I forgot she sent us. She sent a picture. Yeah, she sent the Jenna tweet of Jenna sent a picture of her and Nani with the caption of couldn't look any more opposite, but couldn't be any more similar. Hashtag Soul Sisters. And Allie said, here's what I'm thinking about. What does this even mean? So Allie does not understand the Jenna and Nani relationship or the tweet.
Yep. Speaks for itself.
Yeah, so hope Allie's finals are doing well. She may be back next week. If not, very much to be determined. Who will be helping me dissect episode 14 as we send D or Devon gone and two more people as well. So
yeah,
we'll be back for episode 14. Will, thank you very much. This was great. Hope you had fun.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So until next week, have a good one.